I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, I'm Bella Talbot, brand executive at DKI Witness.
And I'm Alex Pathé, editor at DKI Witness.
And welcome to Where to Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Bella. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm, yeah, feeling good.
It's been a second since we hosted together. I know you did Glasgow last week without me.
I did. I was off to Glasgow last week. Have you been to Stockholm, haven't you?
We did Stockholm, yeah. That was great.
We've been all over the place. And Bella, where are we going in today's episode?
Today we are revisiting Munich. So James and Lucy talked to Kate Mann about Munich in 2022, but with the Euros coming out this year, we thought it might be time to go back. Alex, have you ever been?
I've never been to Munich. No, my knowledge of South Germany isn't particularly great, but I am currently working on our relaunched guide to Munich and the Bavarian Alps, which is going to be out later this year. And I'm working on the book with a very wonderful writer called Rachel Preece, who is today's guest. So, born in Britain, but now based in Munich, today's guest, Rachel Preece, is a travel and culture writer, editor, translator, and producer. She has worked on a range of travel guides and contributed to publications including Monocle. She's currently working with me on DK's new guide to Munich and the Bavarian Alps. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So, as usual, we'll start by learning a little bit more about our guest, Rachel, followed by her all-important recommendations of where to go and insider knowledge of Munich. Then we'll hear about how to plan the best possible visit.
Rachel, what originally attracted you to Germany and to Munich specifically?
So I studied French and German at university, and I split my Erasmus year between Paris and Tübingen, which is a small university town in the southwest of Germany. And nice. Paris was intense and eye-opening and full-on. And I just turned 19 and I'm from rural Shropshire. And it was amazing. But then I went to Tübingen, which had such a different vibe. And it felt like coming home. Nice. And I fell in love with it. It was this bucolic, charming town. And after graduating, I wanted to spend another year in Germany to brush up on my language skills. Mm-hmm. And I found a job in Munich, and somehow that 1 year became 16 and counting.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I was attracted to Munich because it's an international city, but it's very close to nature. Mm-hmm. And actually, Munich's residents call the city a big village. So it really had everything I was looking for. It was urban and it felt cosmopolitan, but it was also so close to the mountains and the lakes, and the hiking trails are a stone's throw away. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like there would be plenty to do in my free time. A work-life balance was very important to me.
That sounds nice. Lovely.
That sounds like the perfect way to do an Erasmus year, Rachel. That kind of European contrast, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool. And it was so eye-opening for me. It was so enlightening.
Mm-hmm. You've slightly touched on this already, Rachel, but we know Munich is obviously the capital of the state of Bavaria. For those looking to venture beyond the city, you've said already, you know, nature is so close. Could you sort of sum up some of the state's charms?
Honestly, if you love the outdoors, Bavaria is an absolute dream. From Munich, you can be at the foot of the Alps in an hour.
Oh, wow.
And there are gorgeous lakes that you can swim in the summer months. And there are some great ski resorts for the colder months. Germany's highest mountain, the Zugspitze, which is just under 3,000 meters high, is in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. There's so much to keep you busy if you like being outside. And otherwise, Bavaria is famous for its quaint architecture. Mm-hmm. The scenic Romantic Road runs through Bavaria with towns and villages full of these half-timbered buildings and cobbled streets. And the state also has plenty of fairy tale castles and palaces.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous. Amazing. There's a bit of everything.
So much to do.
I hadn't realised that the city was that permeable, that it was that quick to get into the kind of the rural kind of alpine landscape. That's amazing. So important for me with a city is that you can get out into green spaces easily. So you've touched on this slightly as well, Rachel, but of Bavaria's many beautiful towns, do you have any particular favourites?
Ooh, good question. I really like Garmisch-Partenkirchen, which is close to the Austrian border. Mm-hmm. Garmisch hosted the Winter Olympics in 1936, and it's famous for their ski jumping hill. Mm-hmm. They host a ski jumping competition every New Year's Day. And there's so much to do in and around the town. There are some great spa hotels there. I really like the Obermühle, mm-hmm. which has recently modernized its spa area. And that's now really, really lovely. And actually, my favorite hotel in the whole wide world is close to Garmisch, Das Kranzbach, which is an old country house built by a British aristocrat, Mary Isabel Portman, in the early 20th century. And it's so charming there. It's like no other place on earth, in my opinion. And the train that heads up the Zugspitze is that leaves in Garmisch, and the Partnachklamm is there too, which is this 700 meter long, 80 meter deep gorge cut into the Alps. And that makes for a great day trip. And Garmisch itself is also full of these quaint little bakeries and cafes. And I think it offers that perfect mix of activities that keep you busy and R&R to make a trip feel like a really restorative break.
I feel like Bavaria should put you on the payroll. You're very good at selling it. We're only like a few minutes in and I'm ready to go.
I forgot we were recording for a second. I was lost in a sort of Bavarian reverie there. I was sort of gazing at the wall.
I was thinking about the hotel. I was like, I'm going to look that up after this.
you have to come, Bella.
Yes, definitely.
We need to get that in the guide, Rachel. That hotel, it sounds amazing. I'll make sure we include that.
It's wonderful. It's really, really beautiful. It's very special.
Amazing.
Okay, so now we're going to jump into the best things to do. So to kick things off, we're going to ask you to give us a quick fire tour of Munich and Bavaria. We're going to name a few categories and you have to suggest just one thing to do. Are you ready, Rachel?
I think so.
Okay, here we go. So favourite view.
One of the great things about Munich is that as soon as you're a few stories high, you often have amazing views of the Alps. And a lot of hotels have rooftop bars that offer brilliant views. But I think my favorite is the rooftop of the Flushing Meadows, which is a boutique hotel in the Glockenbach district, quite close to the city center. And they have great drinks. I really like their vermouth and tonic. Mm. And the bar has a really nice ambience. And the sweeping mountain views, especially at sunset, are unsurpassable.
That sounds amazing. And I love how you snuck in a little drink recommendation as well. Perfect.
The name of that place alone sounds so great. That's such an evocative name. It's great. What is your favourite thing to eat?
Kaiserschmarrn.
Okay.
Kaiserschmarrn literally means the emperor's nonsense in English. And it's a dish famous throughout Bavaria and Austria. Mm. It was popularised by an Austrian emperor, Franz Josef I, who liked to eat it. And it's essentially a thick, fluffy pancake that is prepared in a pan on a stovetop, and then it's shredded and dusted with icing sugar. Ooh. And it's often served with applesauce, and it's Ooh. A hearty dish that, although it's sweet, is often eaten for lunch in the Alps. It's delicious. I am a huge fan.
That sounds great. And what about your favorite thing to drink?
I would be a terrible Bavarian if I didn't say beer. And Bavaria has this centuries-old beer brewing culture. Weihenstephan, to the northeast of Munich, claims to be the world's oldest brewery. But there are also some really good younger breweries in Munich. I really like Giesinger, which has unfiltered cloudy beers. Mm-hmm. And I also like Tillmann's craft beers. So they have traditional Bavarian wheat beers, but they also do a delicious citrusy pale ale.
Lovely.
That's so interesting. I was kind of intrigued because you hear so much about the kind of traditional Bavarian beer scene, but is there quite a thriving and kind of innovative craft beer scene in the city as well?
There is. And there are so many young people doing really cool, interesting things. And I mean, the traditional beers are great. I love them mm-hmm. too. But it's so nice to sometimes have something a little bit different and to feel that there's some creativity in the beer scene here too.
Absolutely. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Okay, the next question, Rachel, what about your favorite day activity?
Swimming in a lake. I think Bavaria's lakes have such clear water, and my favorite way to while away a summer's day is by going swimming. The Chiemsee is Bavaria's largest lake, and it's known as the Bavarian Sea in lieu of an actual sea. And there are a couple of islands on the Chiemsee that you can take a ferry to, and one of them is the Fraueninsel, and that does great fresh fish dishes, and there are some lovely spots around the island that are great for a dip in the summer. And it's only an hour away from Munich, but it always feels like a little holiday when you go there.
Do you have to be quite hardy for the swimming? How cold is the water?
So I'm not a year-round swimmer, but if you only go in the summer, then it's lovely. It's delicious. It's so refreshing, especially as the summers can get quite hot here. And it's just, it's really nice to jump into a cold lake in the middle of summer.
Sounds perfect. Okay. And then our last question in the quickfire round, your favourite museum or gallery?
I really like Haus der Kunst. It's this really imposing building that was actually built by the Nazis. The founding stone was laid by Hitler in 1933. Wow. But it's now a gallery dedicated to contemporary art from around the world. And they always have good exhibitions, great retrospectives. And there's a cool bar there, the Goldene Bar. And the English Gardens, which is Munich's biggest park and one of the biggest urban parks in the world, is right outside.
Wow.
Amazing. I love that, again, you've managed to sneak in a bar as well. Great.
People are going to think I have a problem.
Well, that concludes the quickfire round. You did a great job. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So if we could delve now into some of the other highlights of the city, are there any recommendations you have for kind of specific Munich highlights that visitors should go to?
Well, if I may segue from my previous answer to this one, I think the surfers at the Eisbach Standing Wave are really cool. The Standing Wave is right next to the Haus der Kunst at the southern tip of the English Gardens. And no matter what the weather, no matter what the season, you can always see surfers in neoprene suits riding the Standing Wave there. And it's quite Wow. a spectacle in Munich. We're so far away from the sea. I think the coast is 5 hours away. Yeah. But sometimes you see these surfers riding on the tram, and it's always a confounding sight. It's well worth seeing, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm going to have to look it up. I really can't imagine. I've kind of got an image of this park, but I did not imagine seeing surfers there. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very impressive to see them there. And I also have to mention classics like Marienplatz, which is the city's main square. That's a must see. Mm-hmm. And generally, the architecture in the city centre is very impressive. There's the Residenz Palace there, which is the former royal palace of the Wittelsbach monarchs of Bavaria. Mm-hmm. And that has some ridiculously opulent rooms. They have the Antiquarium, which is this grand old hall full of antique sculptures. And the Ancestral Gallery has these extravagant gilt carvings. Wow. It's really over the top, but it's well worth a visit.
That sounds amazing.
Great. That's some great highlights there. So obviously you've lived in Munich for a long time. I'm going to ask you now for some hidden gems, maybe a few secrets that you could share with listeners, a bit more off the beaten track. Is there anything you could let us in on?
Yes. So I think most people see Munich as very traditional and maybe a little staid. Mm. But I want to emphasize that there is another side to the city. There's an area called Bahnwärter Thiel, which has become a sort of creative playground in the city. It's made up of old underground train carriages and trams. And there are artists there. There are often flea markets, club nights, ateliers, workshops, food and drink. It's this lively, bustling cultural hub. And the same goes for the Werksviertel, which is in the east of Munich. It's a neighborhood almost made up of old shipping containers that have been transformed into bars and independent shops and restaurants and so on. And it's so different to how many people picture Munich to be. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people in the city helping to make it more dynamic. I really love Kaspar Plautz, which is, it's a simple potato stall at Munich's old food market, Viktualienmarkt. But the guys that run it offer lunches that are modern. They're so innovative. They use sustainably sourced products, regional products. And it's so easy to extrapolate that Munich is this earnest Bavarian city full of traditions and customs and Lederhosen. But there are so many people here helping to shape a modern, dynamic Munich.
That's an absolutely fantastic answer. I hadn't realised really until working with you, Rachel, on the book how sort of thriving Munich's culinary scene is and how innovative it is. Because you do just associate particularly the food with these kind of really hearty traditions. And obviously there is that, but there's also just so, there are so many kind of pioneering chefs and restaurants.
I know. It's so easy to associate Munich with sausages and sauerkraut and schnitzel, but there are so many people doing such interesting things.
Amazing. So we've touched on the fact that you can leave the city and be in the kind of wilderness with only a short journey. Are there any particular day trips beyond the city's borders that you can recommend?
There are so many. It really depends what sort of thing you're after. So Augsburg is one of the romantic road cities, mm-hmm. and one of the oldest cities in Germany. And that's less than an hour away on the train. And Augsburg lies at the convergence of three rivers. And the people who live there like to proclaim that it has more bridges than Venice. I think there are over 500 bridges there.
Wow.
And there's also the Fugger Rai there, which is one of the world's oldest social housing complexes, which was founded in the 16th century to house citizens in need. And still to this day, the rent is just 88 cents a year. Wow. It's a really cool place. But otherwise, I like going to lakes for a walk and an ice cream. I like Lake Starnberg and Ammersee. Mm-hmm. They're two lakes very close to Munich that offer these panoramic views of the Alps. There are good ice cream places there too, and good beer gardens. And it's just a nice, relaxing way to spend the day. If you want to head further afield, the Königssee is a must-see. Which is unfortunately a pain to get to on public transport. It's about 2 hours away in the car. And it's close to the Austrian border in the Berchtesgaden National Park. It's advertised as Germany's cleanest lake. And I think it's also one of Germany's deepest lakes. But because it's so clean, they only allow electric-powered passenger ships to cross the lake. And it's such a tranquil, peaceful experience to go across it. It's very picturesque there. But generally, it's just very easy to head to the mountains on public transport for a hike. And there are so many untamed paths and nature trails close to Munich. There's lots to do in Bavaria.
That's really good to know. I was actually going to ask you selfishly for myself. I can't drive, so I really wanted to know how easy it was to get around by public transport. And it does sound like that is possible to do.
Of course, it depends what kind of things you want to do. I think if you want to go off for more remote hikes, then it is probably useful to have a car. Mm-hmm. But I also can't drive, so I like being able to take a train. And you just have to go 30 minutes on the train and you're already at a lake. You're already able to see the Alps. It's so cool.
Perfect. Okay, I'm already planning my visit. So we've touched on, we've already talked about swimming and hiking, skiing. It sounds like there's so much to do in the outdoors. Is there anything else that you would recommend for adventurers to do?
I have hiked up the Zugspitze before. Germany's highest mountain, and it was such a sense of achievement, but it is a tough hike. Mm-hmm. You ideally need to spread it out over 2 days and sleep in a mountain cabin halfway up.
Oh, wow.
And if you're after a holiday that doesn't leave you with sore muscles for days, then you can take a cable car to the top.
Nice.
And if you're in that area, you really have to see the Eibsee, which translates to Yew Tree Lake. It's a lake at the foot of the Zugspitze, and it's this stunning shade of teal green, like a yew tree, I guess. Mm. And you can either take the cable car up from the lake, or you can take a combination of a cogwheel train and cable car to reach the summit. And it's also possible to ski down the Zugspitze, which is really cool because the mountain is so high, so the ski season's pretty long. Even in May, you can sometimes ski down it. Wow. If there's enough snow. And otherwise, Neuschwanstein is one of the main sites in Bavaria. It's this fairy tale castle that was said to be the inspiration for Disney's Sleeping Beauty castle. It was built from a ruin, the Schwanstein, in the late 1800s by Ludwig II, who is sometimes called the Mad King. He was a very extravagant, ostentatious Bavarian king who spent a lot of money and drowned under very suspicious circumstances at Lake Starnberg in 1886. And some say it was suicide, some say he was murdered for his improvident spending.
Intriguing.
He built these amazing, ridiculous palaces. And if you do go to Neuschwanstein, you have to stand on the Marienbrücke, a suspension bridge there. And the views of the palace from there are unbeatable.
Gorgeous.
And finally, I have another tip.
Please do.
If you head to the Bayerischer Wald, the Bavarian Forest National Park, then you could spend a whole week there. There's so much to do there. There are fun education centers and a forest canopy walkway in the shape of an egg. And it spirals upwards until you're as high as the tips of the spruce trees in the forest.
Wow.
And actually, there's a really cool alternative to that treetop path. The alternative is pretty new in a village called Maybrunn. It's also in the Bavarian forest. And they have a little treetop tower with a slide integrated into it. So you can quickly zoom down to the bottom after you've hiked all the way up to the top. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Lovely. You're so good at painting a picture, Rachel.
You really are.
I can see it in my mind.
I'm glad we got a mention of a palace in, because I feel like a lot of people again associate Bavaria with these incredible kind of castles and palaces and schlosses. So it's great to get that in. But also amazing that you've only mentioned it once. I think that you've covered such a kind of holistic aspect of the region. So it's just, yeah, it's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Bavaria wouldn't be Bavaria without all of its palaces and castles. But there is also so much more to the state than just palaces and castles.
Absolutely. Mm. Wonderful. That was a perfect end to the best things to do round. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. That's great.
With its beer halls, stunning gardens, fascinating museums, and delicious local cuisine, Munich makes for the perfect getaway. Make the most of your trip to this lively city and the surrounding Bavarian Alps with our Top 10 Munich.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So this final section, Rachel, is all about planning a visit to Munich and Bavaria. So the first question, do you have any advice on the best time to visit Bavaria?
I would say almost any time. So in December, the Christmas markets are a big draw, and the Nuremberg Christmas markets are perhaps the most popular in the whole of Germany. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, it's great for hiking and cycling. Summer is perfect for the beer gardens, and autumn is obviously attractive because of Oktoberfest. I would perhaps avoid January and February, which tend to be grey and bitterly, bitterly cold. But if you're into skiing or snowboarding, then January and February are the perfect months to visit. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, I think Bavaria's kind of a year-round destination.
Mm-hmm. I've never, ever been to Oktoberfest, and I'd absolutely love to. And I feel like we need to mention it at least once. Does the whole city tend to change completely when Oktoberfest is on? It must just become a completely different place in a sense.
I live fairly close to the Oktoberfest grounds, and for those 2 weeks, Oktoberfest is spread across 3 weekends and 2 full weeks, mm-hmm. and it just becomes everyone is drunk. There is vomit everywhere.
Oh, no.
But it is, I have 2 kids, and it is great for kids as well. So you can go in the daytime, and they have carousels, and they have so much to offer for young children and families. But as you get the later in the day, you get the more drunk people become. So it's kind of a mix. Some people leave Munich for the 2 weeks that Oktoberfest is on. Some people go every day because they love it. Yeah. But it's the biggest event in Munich.
Mm-hmm. That actually leads me on really nicely to my next question, which is, are there any particular events to mark in the calendar? Obviously, Oktoberfest being the big one, but is there anything else?
Yes. So I'm not particularly interested in football, but I have heard that the European Championships are being held in Germany
this
year.
Just that little one, yeah.
And they're taking place from mid-June to mid-July. And I know that several games will take place at the Allianz Arena, which is where Bayern Munich normally plays. And I've heard that there will be a big concert to kick things off on the 12th of June. Ed Sheeran and Nelly Furtado will perform at the Theresienwiese, which is the Oktoberfest grounds. And it's the first time that the Oktoberfest grounds are being used as an open-air venue like this. Wow. And the space can hold 90,000 people. So that concert has been making headlines recently. Mm. There's more pop music in the way of Adele. She's performing 10 shows in Munich in August at a bespoke open-air venue to the east of the city. And because they're her only shows outside of Las Vegas this year, hotels in Munich in August are already really expensive. So if you're not coming to Munich to see Adele, it's perhaps a good idea to avoid coming in August.
Mm-hmm. That's a good tip.
There's also Tollwood, a twice yearly winter and summer festival. And the summer festival is held at the Olympic grounds in Munich and starts in late June. And they have lots of German language bands playing. But Status Quo and ZZ Top are also there this year.
Wow.
Classic.
And then obviously Oktoberfest, which starts on the 21st of September this year. That's an important date for the diary. But there are also lots of other beer festivals in Bavaria. There's the Gäuboden Volksfest in Straubing, which is, I think, Bavaria's second biggest beer festival, which is held in early August. There's one in Dachau, which is small and really lovely, which is held in mid-August. And then there's a bigger one in Rosenheim to the south of Munich in early September. So essentially you can spend your whole summer hopping from one beer festival to the next.
Sounds like the perfect summer to me. There really is no bad time to visit then. It feels like whatever time you go, there's going to be something amazing going on.
Something on, yeah.
Perfect. And we always like to finish, Rachel, by asking if there's anything visitors can do to make a positive impact when they're in the area.
We touched on this earlier, but public transport is generally really good in Bavaria. In Munich, there are underground trains, trams, suburban trains and buses, and all of which run until fairly late at night. Mm-hmm. And as of December, the underground trains will run through the night. And the trains around Bavaria get you to a lot of places, including the local lakes and various points in the Bavarian Alps and other cities and towns around Bavaria. There are also obviously long distance trains to other places in Germany and Europe. There's a train that gets you to Berlin in 4 hours, and there's a train that gets you from Munich to Bratislava in around 5 hours. And I don't think hiring a car is really necessary. But if Deutsche Bahn isn't striking, then the public transport system is fantastic.
Amazing. As three non-drivers, because I also don't drive, that is really, really useful advice. That sounds fantastic.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you.
That was excellent. I mean, we say this with lots of episodes, but I really feel like you've sold the area so beautifully. I'm desperate to go now. It was fantastic.
Well, thank you so much to Rachel. She was such a lovely guest and she really painted a really beautiful picture of Munich. I have to say, when I was doing research before this episode, I somehow found myself on Skyscanner looking at flights, and I think she's really convinced me. She's pushed me into it. So I'll be booking my flights. Yeah.
You've got to do it, Bella. Summer of Bavarian beer festivals is on the cards, I think.
Oh, perfect.
I've always wanted to go to Oktoberfest, but the way she spoke about some of those smaller Bavarian beer festivals, they just sound so wonderful.
I know. I'm wondering if Oktoberfest might be a bit too much for me after what she was saying about sort of the vomit and things. Yeah. Maybe summer is a bit more chill.
Absolutely. And listener, you can follow Rachel's work at rachelinmunich.com.
Listener, join us next episode. Rachel and I are off to Hong Kong with our special guest expert. It's going to be a great episode, so make sure you tune in.
So yeah, it's been a fantastic episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
This podcast was produced by Julia Baker and me, Bella Talbot. For more information about DKI Witness, visit dk.com/travel and follow us on social media at DKI Witness. Please rate, review and follow the show. Your support means so much to us.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.